Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Now, from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, it's the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And as we say, good Thursday evening live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in downtown Toms River. Matt Harmon sitting alongside Ed Saraluca. We get you set for week number 9 coming up. We'll start backwards thinking and talking about week number 8 and then push ahead. But we start the show, Ed, tonight before even moving forward, talking about the guests and what we know will be a real entertaining show tonight. Normally, the spot in the middle occupied by the director of the Shore Sports Network, Kevin Williams, who is not here tonight. The passing of his father, Jack Williams, after a short bout of what it turned out to be with cancer. So our thoughts and prayers go out to our partner and our good friend and boss in this particular situation. Been a tough week for him, but we are happy to be here tonight, being able to talk high school football, but half of us obviously thinking about what's going on with Kevin and his family.
Yeah, it's been a tough couple of months, actually, for Kevin, and finally his dad passing just yesterday, and we do send our thoughts and prayers to him and his family.
As we look at what we will be doing tonight, we'll have an opportunity to talk with the gang from Mustangs of the Brick Memorial High School. The Stangs off to a good season so far, 5-3, the number 9 team in our top 10. And also, we'll talk some St. John Vianney Lancer football with head coach Mark Ciccatelli and quarterback Anthony Brown, the Lancers number 3 in our top 10. They are one of two undefeated teams remaining at 8-0. By the way, when we talk Brick Memorial, it'll be with running back Connor Owen and head coach Walt Curry. Ed, last week, week number 8, kind of an extended week because of some bad weather during the course of the weekend, especially on Saturday. A lot of games on Friday, some pushed during the end part of the weekend. Turned out to be one of those long extended weekends, but an important one. Some divisional races still up for grabs, but some real good games last weekend for sure.
Yeah, when the bad weather hits over the weekend, it allows me to see two, and in this case, three different games. Actually, I saw four games this week, Matt. We did our game Friday night. Saturday, I went to the Mud Bowl, as it's being called. Brick Memorial and Toms River South played in absolutely horrendous weather. Sunday, I saw... who did I see Sunday now? Lacey, I guess.
And Southern?
No, that Lacey and Southern was Monday. And then I did see a game Sunday. I can't even remember which one I saw. But anyway, you know, the rain creates problems and rescheduling, and it allows me to see some of these teams. But we did have some good football games, and now the divisions are starting to, the cream is starting to rise to the top.
Yeah, Red Bank Catholic has clinched the B North division outright. Brick, St. John Vianney, Manalapan, and Shore have taken a tie of theirs. The only one that's still completely up for grabs is the B South, where Barnegat and Central Regional sit right now tied at 5-1. Ed, some of the games certainly of note. We did Brick and Toms River North, the Green Dragons, with another strong performance on the back of their quarterback, Carmen Sclafani, who had 251 yards on the ground. You know, I saw we knew he had a good game, obviously,
right,
and scored four times during the course of the night. I was actually shocked when I picked up the paper and saw 251.
Yeah, well, he was our player of the game, and we were keeping track down there on the sideline. And, he just, you know, he doesn't usually go for the 70 or 80-yard run. He just chips away, gets his 25, sometimes 30 carries a game. He gets 7, 8, 12, 15 at a clip. It adds up, and he's just, after missing a couple of games last year and still throwing and running for 1,000 yards, he is over those two marks already, you know, after 8 games this year, and Brick looks like either a 1 or 2 seed in Central Jersey Group 4.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the state stuff, because now there's becoming at least a little more clearer and better picture in terms of who might be in a couple of teams with an opportunity. But the strange thing about it, as we've talked about a couple of times during the course of the year, is that it's the first 8 games, but you get to drop one. So a lot of teams are playing their 9th game. For example, our game this week, our Jersey Mike's game of the week, is Red Bank Catholic and Jackson. They're both playing their ninth game of the season. It won't count for the state playoffs, but it'll go a whole lot in determining maybe who the top team in the Shore is and, you know, provide a nice little warm-up for both of those teams going into the state playoffs.
You know, as we kidded Ed Guerrieri a couple weeks ago when he was on with us on our Thursday night show, you know, he picked up a nice little scrimmage, or the Shore Conference gave him a nice little scrimmage before the playoff run, which begins next Friday night with RBC. So, you know, RBC in Jackson, which is a huge game as far as, you know, people watching and who's going to be one, who's going to be three. I believe Jackson right now is currently sitting at number four in our poll. But, yeah, it's a good tune-up. You know, coaches have to understand that nothing can happen point-wise, PowerPoint-wise. So do you play that player that is nicked up? Do you hold them back? Tough decisions to be made by head coaches.
Well, save obviously the wins for Brick Memorial and St. John Vianney when we talked to both crews that are here during the course of our show. I thought a really important game for Manalapan. You know, you talked about the Braves and referenced their head coach, Ed Guerrieri, who was down a couple of weeks ago. 42-3, they knock off Freehold. And, you know, maybe a team that after being beaten up a little bit by RBC, starting to think maybe, you know, how good are we? What are we this year? And Freehold, which has kind of been one of those darling teams of the Shore Conference this year, they got beat up pretty good.
That's the other game I saw, Matt. I couldn't think of it. That's the one that was held on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Freehold in a field after much heavy rain throughout Saturday into Saturday night was held up pretty good. The field was not muddy at all, which kind of surprised me. If you remember, heavy winds set in on Saturday night, and I think that helped dry it out a little bit. But, yeah, Manalapan spotted Freehold an early field goal. They took a field goal. They took a 3-0 lead and then ran off 40-something points, 42 points. Looked tremendous. Mayfield running all over the field, all over the place, and, you know, didn't even play hardly in the fourth quarter. So very impressive win. Now Freehold, who we all said, you know, maybe a little bit easy schedule coming in, and now they play Manalapan and then Middletown South this week. Could very easily find themselves 7-2 after the weekend.
So one final game to talk about. Well, two games I want to go over before we take our first break of the night. The first of which, what an impressive performance. And you know, you get to this time of the year playoff-wise, you always want to be one of those teams that maybe is peaking at the right time. Look out for Neptune. I mean, they put a whipping on Long Branch, 27-0 the final score. I think that score really shocked a lot of people around the Shore Conference.
Yeah, Demir Willis held to 17 yards. You know, remember, he had come into the game with 1,800 yards in his first seven games. 17 yards, stopped them cold, held the Long Branch team, who relies so much on Willis, to 0 points and did come up with the shutout. That makes their game this week so interesting because they travel to Toms River North, one of the powers of A South. You know, we touted the A South division all year as a very tough division. Well, let's see what happens. Neptune at Toms River North this week.
And, you know, that's one of those crazy ones where for Toms River North, they've played 8 games already. Neptune has not. So for Neptune, this game could have major playoff implications. For Toms River North, it really just becomes another game.
Yeah,
you know?
Very, very important to Neptune, you know, as they fight their way into the Central Jersey playoffs. But they are hot. And I expect a good one there. I think North will be ready.
Last one to talk about became a little bit of an elimination game in the one division that there's no co-champ or anything decided up until this point. Barnegat and Lakewood played a pretty good game at the home of the Bengals, 24-22. Not necessarily pretty numbers, and you think you aim 24-22, add some offense to it. Not really the case. Both teams keeping the ball on the ground a lot, and Barnegat able to get, you know, a fairly important win. They've been that team that has been kind of difficult to figure out during the course of the season a little bit. Are they going to be able to take that big step forward and just win a division outright? At least they take a step forward with that 2-point win over Lakewood.
Well, that division so much looks like a co-championship between them and Central. Have both of them have games, winnable games this week. If both win, that will be a co-championship. And the key to Barnegat is Manny Bowen. He's been in and out of the lineup with concussion problems. I think they need a healthy Manny Bowen down the stretch and in the playoffs if they want to make a run.
Well, and Bowen was ejected in the game last
yes.
week against Lakewood, unfortunately for him, because of a situation which involved a punch or
well,
a fight.
Well, no, actually, it wasn't a punch. It was just verbal. I did check that out. We had gotten word over the Internet that it was a punch. It was not a punch. So he was ejected from the game and missed most of that game last week. However, he is eligible to play this week.
Well, let's go back and talk about ejections real quick before we take our break. We had Brick and Tom Zipper North last week, and the Green Dragons seemingly had two players that were kicked out. Now, later on during the course of the week, there's been a little bit more clarification on that, and Ray Fattoruso, one of those guys, so important to what Brick does and who the Green Dragons are, he will be able to play this weekend.
Yeah, it all comes down to unsportsmanlike and personal fouls. Fattoruso's was a personal foul, which allows him to play this week, even though he did have two of them in the game. Tommy Leach, however, had a personal, an unsportsmanlike for hitting Mike Husney, the North quarterback, out of bounds. And then as the two got up and got in each other's face, Leach headbutted him, which
is another
know,
person.
Another unsportsmanlike. So that meant he's ejected and he must sit this week's game. You know, for Brick against Tom River South.
We'll talk some Brick stuff, but we'll do it Mustang-wise when we come back off our timeout. Brick Memorial's in the house here tonight with their head coach, Wal Curry, and running back, Connor Owen. We'll do it after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill, and we're, of course, on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back here live on a Thursday night getting sent for week number 9, kind of the unofficial end to the regular season. Of course, there'll be some Thanksgiving Day games, but state playoff action will begin not this weekend, but the weekend after. And a team that is smack dab in the thick of the playoff race right now in South Jersey, South Jersey Group 5 to be exact, are the Mustangs at Brick Memorial. And their head coach, Walt Curry, is good enough to give us some time with a senior running back and linebacker, Connor Owen. Guys, good to see you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to have you down here. Good season so far, Coach. We'll start with you. 5-3, and you know, I feel like going into the year, you were one of those teams that no one quite knew what to expect out of. Not maybe the press or the ink that Brick Memorial has had over the course of the last couple of years. The expectations of the program are always so high. Are you I hate to say surprised at all about where this team is, but maybe pleasantly interested, in maybe is a better way to say it. Did you feel like you'd be this good at this point of the year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just because the perception publicly was one that we weren't going to be that good, but within the confines of our program, we have the same expectations we have every year to play championship level football, to compete with the best, and give ourselves a chance week in and week out in the fourth quarter to win a football game.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about this guy you brought down with you tonight, Connor Owen. I mean, to me, and I've seen quite a few games, and of course, hanging around the Brick Memorial program, he looks like the glue on both sides of the lines, you know, on the offense and defense, his linebacker position, and then again his A-back position on offense. He looks like the guy that the other guys look up to.
Yeah, there's no question. Connor's one of those guys who's a leader. He's an emotional leader. He's a leader in our weight room in the offseason, a leader on the field. I mean, he's one of those guys that epitomizes Brick Memorial football. He's not the only guy we have that's like Connor. I wish we could have brought 10 or 15 or 40 other guys with us tonight. We had to pick one, but Connor's one of those guys. He represents Brick Memorial well, he's been a leader for us on and off the field.
Connor, good season so far for you individually. 520 yards unofficially, 7 touchdowns among the team leaders in tackles and 63. What I want to talk about is the game last week. You know, as Coach Sarluka kind of said, dub the Mud Bowl at your place. You strike me, even just seeing you kind of walk around here for a couple minutes, you strike me as a guy that really kind of enjoyed playing in those type of conditions last week. What was that like for you?
It was one of the craziest games I've ever played in, definitely. The one I will never forget. We just kind of came out. We had stayed out there. We didn't go back into our locker room after we warmed up, and they did, and I felt that kind of gave us an edge that we were ready to go. They came out. We had a block punt. They scored, and it was kind of like, all right, we got to get into our game, get back to what we know how we can play, and came out in the second half, got things going, and we knew that we pretty much had it wrapped up.
Coach, very similar season this year as last year. By that I mean you lost your quarterback early last year and a kid had to come in and play exceptionally well, Rob Triano, as when Johan went down with an injury. This year, Johan gets the starting job. You began the season alternating him and a guy that nobody heard of. As a matter of fact, if you look in the preseason guy, his name isn't even in the preseason guy, Tim Santiago, who's come out of nowhere and had a fantastic year running the Flexbone offense. Tell us a little bit about Tim.
Well, when Tim came in as a freshman, we knew he was a special kid. I mean, he made all kinds of plays at the freshman level. He's a three-sport athlete, so he loves to compete. He's a tough kid. He finds a way to grind through seasons. And, you know, you make it through football season and wrestling season, and you make it through healthy, and you make it through in a competitive mode enough to play a baseball season. You're a pretty tough kid, and that's the kind of kid Tim is. And he's another one of those guys in the Connor Owen mix, in the Matt Cathy mix. And, you know, he's one of those guys that he epitomizes Brick Memorial football and toughness and an old-school mentality of we're going to play as hard as we can for 48 minutes and we'll look at the scoreboard at the end and see what happens.
You know, you're one of the coaches that I think enjoys having that junior quarterback because you don't only get him for the 1 year, but you have him coming back the following year to lead that Flexbone offense.
Well, there's no question that it's a positive thing. To have a junior quarterback that is going to come back the next season knowing that he's going to pilot your offense. You know, at the same time, Tim is just, he's a good football player, you know, in spite of how old he is or what grade he's in. He's just a good, solid football player, and, you know, we're expecting big things from him down the stretch.
Okay, we do have to talk about the injury that he sustained a couple weeks ago. I was at the game Saturday, the Mud Bowl, as I called it, and I noticed he had a boot on the sideline with an injured ankle. Give us, tell us what you can about the injury and his status for this week.
Well, the boot was more precautionary than anything else. We just wanted to make sure that as he was on his feet that he rested it. But he is, in NFL vernacular, probable. He's practiced all week. He's looked good. He's got his burst. So there's nothing that tells me right now that he won't play tomorrow night.
Connor, for you guys as a team and you being one of the leaders as a senior on this club, I want to go back to the beginning part of the season because the way that it started, obviously not great for you guys. You got beat up by your crosstown rival Brick on opening night, but then able to put together four consecutive wins. What's the conversation like after that game? I mean, is it let's try to put that to bed as quick as we can and move forward? Because, you know, everyone probably feel like we could be a pretty good football team, but I would think, you know, there has to be some question marks after you lose the way you did on opening night.
Right after that game, we all kind of came together. Coach brought us in. We just kind of talked. And we decided what kind of football team we were going to be. And we knew that that wasn't the kind of football team that we were. Coming off that loss, it was just that's not the type of football team we are. That's not how hard we worked. That did not display that at all. And the guys just kind of really came together. And it wasn't as much talking as the next week of practice, the next weeks of practice that really showed what kind of football team we were going to be.
Coach, you put together, you know, four nice wins in a row after that. Toms River North, Lacey, and Old Bridge, and then run into that, you know, what I would call pretty difficult trio of games. Jackson, Middletown South, and then last week against Toms River South. The one thing that, you know, I think any team from A South that makes the playoffs could say is you are certainly battle-tested going into the postseason.
Yeah, battle-tested is actually the exact phrase that we would use, and we've used that for a long time. And you know, that gauntlet of teams, I mean, including going back to Old Bridge, who's a quality and playoff team, you know, Middletown South, Jackson, who I think is one of the best teams in the Shore. I think they're in a top three team without question in the Shore. And I think we're going to find that out this week, you know, against RBC. But, yeah, we felt very good coming out of that gauntlet as far as the kind of football team we can be. We talked about finishing. You know, that's something we did not do against Jackson and Middletown South. That's been our point of emphasis. And that's something that if we can do a little bit better, that we'll not only compete with the best teams, but we'll start to win those games.
You know, it's crazy to think, too, Coach, and you've been coming down, and we know Brick Memorial, and for as long as we've been doing the games, this game going into your matchup against Southern this week, and Coach and I were talking about a little bit before, is pretty different because for you guys, of course, the game has meaning, but there's no points up for grabs for you guys at all. But for them, it's almost a do or die. They need a win. Right now, they're at 9, and you guys are in the same bracket. Do you approach the game any differently this week, knowing that you know, you guys are locked into a spot. And, you know, as we said, Tim Santiago a little bit banged up, but you call him probable. Do you maybe think if there's a guy nicked up this week, we got to make sure they're ready for next week? Because this week, you hate to say it doesn't matter, but in a way, it almost doesn't matter.
Well, I would beg to disagree. I don't think you play football games because for points. I don't think you play them, to save anything. I mean, you have 12 football games a year maximum, and 365 days in which to play them. So you don't get too many opportunities to play a football game and have an opportunity to win one. And that's the approach that our players have. They want to win this football game, and they want to win it because it's the next game on our schedule, and they're going to play as hard as they can against Southern Regional because they're a division rival and they're a very good football team, a playoff caliber football team. So it's going to take our best effort tomorrow night, and our boys are focused on exactly our next opponent. What's going to happen after that game, I don't know, right. but I do know this, that our boys are going to come out and play hard tomorrow night, and we're going to be ready to go.
You know, we at the Shore Sports Network feel bad because we always have you guys on once, at least, usually twice a year. Both games this year that we had scheduled, the Brick Memorial game, Friday night, changed to Saturday. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you realize we do Monmouth University games on Saturday, so high school games are out. And then, of course, we had the South Brick Memorial game, another Friday night game, Halloween night, postponed to Saturday. Kicked you guys off the air. So we feel bad that we haven't had you guys on the radio. Maybe we get you in the South Jersey playoffs.
Well, I hope so. I hope so, because we miss you guys coming by our place, that's for sure.
But I want to talk a little bit about the defense, because the defense has played very well at times this year, and I think have held you in ball games, mm-hmm. led by Mike and Anthony, the twins, Nobile. Tell us a little bit about the Pete Brennan-led defense.
Well, Pete's done a great job. I mean, he's done a great job along with Mike Cintron, Jimmy Bright, of organizing the defense, coming up with a solid game plan every single week, and most importantly, communicating that game plan to our boys and making sure it's cohesive and thorough. And they do a great job of preparing. And our boys do a really great job being students of the game. They're not just football players. You know, they're not computers you can program either. They're high school kids who have other things in their plate, other than what they do after school. You know, they're taking physics. They're taking whatever classes they're taking. So I give a lot of credit to our boys for staying extra and watching extra film. They've done a good job preparing themselves mentally, emotionally, and physically every single week and giving us a chance to win.
Connor, describe this football team to our listening audience in a couple of words. What kind of team is this?
First words that come to mind, definitely hard-nosed, hard-working. They just have, like, a will to win. It's just a matter of we work so hard in the off season, and then coming out against Brick that first game, we knew that wasn't our team, like, again. So this team is just one that is relentless. And in other games that we played, Jackson, Mid-South, we've beaten ourselves. We don't think that they're a better football team than us. We have beaten ourselves, and we know that. And the only way that we can really prove that is not just this week, but coming up in the playoffs, and that's where we are going to show what type of team we truly are.
Coach, I don't want to leave without mentioning a kid who I thought did an outstanding job last week, Justin Bates. Mm-hmm. A JV quarterback. Had he ever taken a varsity snap?
No.
Never, okay? I didn't think he had, but he comes in replacing Timmy Santiago and does a fantastic job of handling conditions that, as I put in my blog, only Ducks can like.
Yeah, that's the truth. Ducks and Justin Bates, apparently. But Justin did a great job last week. In fact, there was a couple times where he mishandled a couple snaps because of the weather.
It's going to happen.
The conditions. And he did a great job of keeping his head, finding a way to get the ball. A couple times Connor ended up with it, but a couple times he bobbled the snap and just took what he could get. And he did a good job of managing the game. He did a great job, had a great command of the huddle, has a good command of the offense, and had another great week of practice today.
When was the last time, Connor or Coach, when was the last time you could say at the end of a game, if the stats that I looked at are right, you played an entire football game, didn't throw the ball at all, and Tom's River South only threw it three times? Yeah. I mean, that doesn't happen really in today's day and age with football anymore.
No, it doesn't. It's probably more common for us not to throw it than Tom's River South, because, especially Timer's just a premier, one of the premier players in the Shore Conference, but I can't remember a time when only three footballs were thrown in the air.
Connor, for you guys, and I understand that your coach is sitting right next to you, but information is so easy to get out for student athletes today. You know, if things are on Twitter, and I have my computer on, and you can see what everybody's doing. And the mantra is always take it one game at a time. And I know you guys play Southern coming up this weekend. But how often do you, or maybe the guys in your locker room, have a pretty good working knowledge of where you sit in the state playoff picture in your bracket?
Going into last week, going into play Toms River South, we were definitely looking forward that we thought that if we won this game that we were going to have a home playoff game. Turned out that we might be away, and we've kind of adjusted to that. We play good on the road, as previous Brick Memorial teams have showed, and I feel we do the same. We know that we might be away at Cherokee, and that's fine with us. Wherever we play, we're going to play our best game.
Coach, it's that crazy time of year, right? Everyone's got the calculators out and tracking as many games as you possibly can. And as we mentioned, you know, as last year, the same, the system is a little bit different than it's been over the past. So you have to think like, okay, what game is a guy going to drop, or what game is a team going to drop, as opposed to just having it be a little easier. I would imagine as a coaching staff, and I know there's usually one person in charge of it, you might need a whole army of people in charge of it this year.
Yeah, you need a whole other staff just for that. And really, at one point, it just comes down to, all right, well, let's just see what happens and see where we are. And we'll go from there. But it's really difficult to sometimes predict, and it's impossible to predict. Even to just try to project where you might be. Are we going to be home? Are we going to be on the road? Or who are we going to play is a completely different animal.
Coach. Right now, sitting in fourth overall, mm-hmm. in South Jersey Group 5 with 106 points, by the way. Go ahead,
yeah.
Coach.
Yeah, I was just going to say, new section this year, mm-hmm. new teams. First time for you in South Jersey division, right, as far as Group 5 is
yeah,
concerned.
Absolutely.
New teams, Cherokee, you know, teams like that who are unfamiliar with the Brick Memorial Mustang flex phone offense. I think it helped you.
Well, maybe. I would like to think that those guys do an awesome job down there. It's certainly a conference that is known for its football throughout the state. So I'm sure that the flex phone offense is not going to be anything that's new to them. That's something that they've researched and prepared for. And just in case they see it, or maybe they do see it. I'm sure those guys do. You know, the quality of coaching down there is real, real good. So I'm sure they'll be well prepared.
Connor, before we wrap this one up, you are a senior, so I always like to let guys know, or let guys have an opportunity to talk about it. College plans for you?
I'm not really sure yet. I've gotten some interest from some schools, but there's nothing definitely yet. Depends on how the season ends, I believe, and I'll just see where it goes from there.
You'd like to play college football?
Yes, I would.
Well, that's great. Congratulations so far, both of you and the entire program. Good season. Keep it rolling. Get a hard-fought win. I'm sure it'll be a hard-fought game, certainly against Southern Regional. I look forward to tracking you guys in the playoffs. Thanks so much, both of you, coming down tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We'll take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll talk Lancer football with some of the crew from St. John Vianney that are in the house. We'll do it right after this quick pause. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
And we are back here on a Thursday night in downtown Toms River, the comfy confines of the Water Street Bar and Grill, with a lot of football getting up and running, college game, pro game on tonight. But as we like to do each and every Thursday, talk high school football. Great spot with Brick Memorial leading into our second spot of the night, along with head coach Mark Ciccatelli and his outstanding junior quarterback Anthony Brown. Have an opportunity to talk about the Lancers of St. John Vianney, one of two undefeated teams remaining in the Shore. Guys, good to see you. Thanks so much for coming down.
Thanks for having us. Thank you,
Anthony. Let's start with you. I mean, it has been an amazing season so far for you guys, 8-0. And I know you are the director of an offense that right now, other than Red Bank Catholic, has scored more points than everybody else in the Shore Conference. You guys have it rolling pretty good right now.
Yes, we do.
Talk about some of the guys that you have and the weapons that you have to work with.
For one, we have our line, which pushes us through a lot of games.
You're good. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I was just going to say, Mark, this kid, let's talk a little bit about Anthony. It's about time we get this kid some notoriety. I mean, last year he completed, I believe, 12 passes, backing up Billy D'Amato. Tough job, as only a sophomore. This year already he's got 104 completions for 1,600 yards. Tell us a little bit about the skills of this kid sitting next to you.
Well, first and foremost, Anthony is an unbelievable human being. He's a student athlete. He does not only the things he's supposed to do on the field each and every day. He takes care of what he's supposed to do in a classroom. He has a 3.5 GPA. And he does. He carries those things onto the football field with him. You know, he's a real student of the game. He could probably call the offense if he had to, if I were to go down. You know, I think he's a special talent. You know, when I took over there, I put some film on him when he was a freshman, and you know, a couple times when he was a sophomore, he threw the ball around, and I thought he had some God-gifted ability, and I thought he could do some special things.
You know, I left out probably the most important stat of those numbers. He's thrown 19 touchdown passes, does not have one interception. How does that happen?
Well, I have to find some wood to knock on. I just great decision maker.
Right.
You know, he really could line everybody up from the offensive linemen to the receivers to the slots to the tailbacks and really coach each and every position. But, you know, I think, again, he has the things that you can't teach. You know, Derek Jeter, Johnny Manziel, the things that you're born with. You know, that savvy, extending plays with his feet, knowing when to pull it down, make a play with his feet, or pull it down and in a scramble situation get the ball down the field.
Well, yeah, I mean, the passing numbers are off the charts. As Ed said, 19 touchdowns, no interceptions, and over 1,600 yards. But add that in with over 500 yards on the ground and six more scores. Anthony, high praise from your head coach. You can use that maybe later on during the course of the – remember those nice things you said about me on the radio?
How smart
I am while I'm on the field. But when you think about it, do you just feel that comfortable right now running the offense?
Yes, I do. It's come easier to me as the season went on, and he helped me through the process, pick up the offense and learn it to finish through with our games throughout the season.
Coach, it's not a one-man team, though, obviously. No team is. And although he's got great numbers, you've got a tremendous, receiving core to throw to.
Yeah, Danny Calabro, P.J. Braccia, Khalil Haskins, Aaron Mora, Calvin Beatty, along with Jeff Sheard at the slots, those receivers and tailbacks. Again, they have to know what's going on also, and they've done an unbelievable job. Up front, our offensive line has to pass protect. And when it's time to run it, they have to drive block people. So they have done a phenomenal job learning our system and executing it also.
I was just going to say, Coach, let's talk about you a little bit now. Two championships at Freehold Borough. And probably you've got to be pretty happy about what their season has done this year, right?
Yes, most definitely.
Exactly.
Coach Ellis is a good friend of mine.
Because you know Coach Ellis, right?
Yep, coach with me, and he's a very dear friend of mine.
And then you go on to Neptune. All you do there is win a championship that they hadn't done in quite a while. And then the job comes up at St. John Vianney. Tell us a little bit about your mindset and say, I think I might want to do that.
Well, you know, first and foremost, again, those schools that, you know, Freehold and Neptune, I was very fortunate to have some very good players and an unbelievable coaching staff who enabled, as a family and a team, we were able to do those things and do some special things. You know, when St. John Vianney opened, I thought it was something that could be very special. You know, when I met with the administration, the president, the principal, the athletic director, without their support and everything that we talked about and discussed, none of this would happen.
Right.
So, you know, again, I think with our facilities and some of the things we have to offer academically, I really think it's a place that we haven't even scratched the surface yet of what we can do and what we're going to do.
Anthony, the season that you guys have had up until this point at 8-0, and obviously playing in A Central, you've already locked up at least part of the division championship. At what point of the year, because I'm looking at the schedule and the scores that you guys have, and the closest game you had was Week 4 against Rumson. Is that maybe the point of your year that you and the rest of the team, after you get through that one, you almost look and say, we've got an opportunity to not just be a pretty good football team, we've got an opportunity to be maybe a great football team after a win like that?
Yes, we had a tough game against Rumson Fairhaven, but we should have beat them by a lot more if we would have did the things we were supposed to do and execute the plays that Coach Ciccatelli called and on defense wrapped up. But otherwise, after the Rumson game, we knew we could be a great team if we finished throughout that one.
Coach, how have you been able to, you know, because this is success that for St. John Vianney hasn't happened. It's not a traditional power program where year in and year out wins and playoff berths are easy to come by. And I know the season hasn't been easy at all, but you are 8-0. And again, looking at your scores, you've blown a lot of people out. How do you keep the players on your roster grounded so that they realize, you know, the biggest games and the toughest games are still yet to come?
Well, again, I think from day one, we talk about when we put the pads on, whether it's for practice or for a game, we're going to go 110%. Control the controllables. We don't get caught up in who we're playing, what we're doing. We talk all the time about if we're winning 50-0 or we're losing 50-0, play the game the right way, respect the game, respect our opponent. We have a motto, toughness, hard work, discipline, where, again, when we put the pads on, play 110%.
Coach, I want to mention a couple of other guys here. Your kicker, you know, Joe Rice, all he's done is make 47 out of 49 extra points, 4 for 6 on field goals. He's a nice weapon to have.
Sure is. When again, most of the times in high school, you know, when you have a kicker like that can put the ball in the end zone and a team has to go 80 yards, drive 80 yards to score,
right,
you're in a good position, right, with the touchback. And he's done that on numerous occasions for us. You know, and you know, in high school, you know, most of the time that ball gets kicked to the 15, they run it back. They're at midfield, 1st and 10. They only have to go 50 yards. So he's been a big weapon for us,
right,
even in the red zone, being able to get the 3 points
on the board,
yeah.
Right. The other guy I want to mention is a coach, okay? I think one of the more important positional coaches is your offensive line, defensive line coach. You've got one that I know you're familiar with, and I know came over with you from Neptune, Mike mm-hmm. DeLucia. Very important to put the offensive line together.
No doubt. Mike has been with me through our years at Freehold and Neptune and now at St. John's. Again, first and foremost, he's like a family member. You know, that was one of the most important things when I met at St. John's, to have those guys that have been with me come there with me also. But he does a phenomenal job. He really does. A real student of the game. He was a heck of a player at Freehold, you know, and at Rutgers, and I can't say enough about him.
Anthony, this week you guys will wrap up your regular season, a Saturday afternoon game at Manasquan. Traditionally, one of the short conference powers, difficult place to play. I'm sure that they are loving the fact that it's raining today, and they probably will put the sprinklers on at some point tomorrow, even if it clears up. As you look and watch film during the course of the week, and you see Manasquan, tell me what kind of football team you guys will be playing against on Saturday.
We're playing against a tough football team that everybody knows that when you put the pads on against them, they're coming out to play their best game. And this is their last game of the regular season, and it's against us. We're 8-0, and they're 3-4, so they're looking to knock us off.
And, you know, coaches, we talked before with Walt Curry. You know, the way that the state picture is this year, you've played your 8 games, so you'll go in at 7-0, essentially. For Manasquan, this is their 8th game. They might need it to lock in a spot. But I think for you guys, and I know as we talked before with the guys from Brick Memorial, every time you go out, you're going to go out and put an effort forward. But for you guys, a special day could be on Saturday as well. With a win, you lock up the A-Central Championship all by yourself. So if you even had an inkling that, okay, the guys, you know, won't really be mentally there, you have that to kind of dangle in front of them all week.
Yeah, we've talked about, you know, that all week, and we talked about that early in the summer. Our first, you know, we have three goals, and, you know, the first one was opening day. The second one was our conference, you know, to win the conference division championship, and the third one was to win a state title. So we took care of the first one. Right now, we're trying to take care of the second one. But you know, again, we're gonna run into a football program and a football team that has a lot of tradition. And when you watch them on film, they're coached the right way. They play hard, and they're a pretty physical football program.
Let's talk about the third one, because you right. opened the door for us, so we're going to kick it in a little bit. You play in, obviously, an extremely difficult group, mm-hmm. Non-public group 3. and the comparison will certainly now start to emerge between yourself and Red Bank Catholic, the two last undefeated teams, and you're both in the same group and could potentially play somewhere along the way. As you analyze that group, because as I'm looking at it, Del Barton, they played their eight. Red Bank Catholic played their eight. St. Joe's Montvale has one more to go. You played your eight. Pope John has played their eight. So you pretty much know in a way where everyone is going to be. It's a pretty difficult road for anyone that is going to come out and call themselves the non-public Group 3 champion.
It sure is. You know, we have our hands full. But again, you know, we have to take care of what we do and control the controllables. You know, if our kids, if they give their best effort and we come out with a loss, hey, we'll all sleep at night. If we leave something on the field or we leave something in practice because we're not prepared and we don't do what we're asked or they're asked to do all week, then there's a problem. But again, it is a very tough field, and you know, we're excited about where we're at right now as a football program.
You know, we've talked a lot of offense today, but even though you're scoring 44 points a game offensively, you're only giving up 16. Mm-hmm. And I like defense. And offense sells tickets, but defense wins championship. You know how the saying goes. Tell me a little bit about your defense.
I agree 100%. You know, the old cliche, defense wins championships, you know, is something that we preach each and every day. You know, Coach Cavanaugh, our defensive coordinator, his brother, Nick Tyson, Sal Spampinato, we have so many guys, Jimmy Reed, Nick Martis, they do an unbelievable job of coaching those guys each and every day. And early on, you know, right now we're starting five sophomores. So early on we were playing some of those guys in the offensive line. We had a couple sophomores that are now playing defense for us that, you know, they've become a little more, you know, acclimated in the offensive line, and we didn't want to overwhelm them. So right now they're playing some defense for us, and they're doing a great job. But again, you know, like baseball, if they can't score, they can't hit. You need pitching. You know, defense is what's gonna, you know, help you win that championship.
Anthony, you've got a whole nother year, obviously, and as Coach said, you know, very smart on the field, could be a coach. Obviously, your numbers and your athletic ability has been on display all year long, and a good student in the classroom. But the whole other piece of this is, I'm sure right now you're getting a lot of letters and a lot of contact from some college coaches. When you add that into the equation, how difficult is it for you to kind of stay focused on what's going on the field and in the classroom?
I just pay attention to my schoolwork and what I have to do for my teammates to win. You know, I don't really pay attention to recruiting as far as getting into it towards, like, them offering scholarships, sending letters. I just like to pay attention to my schoolwork and helping my coach win the championship.
Ironically, Matt, I don't know if you know this, but he did receive his first offer this week from Liberty University. Am I correct, Coach?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Yes.
So, ironically, that's who Monmouth plays.
That's true.
This week.
I'll be there on
He'll
Saturday.
He'll be there broadcasting the game down in Lynchburg, Virginia, but a pretty good school and a pretty good program down there. But the first, I'm sure, as you said, Matt, of many offers this kid's going to get.
Yeah, no doubt about that. St. John Vianney, 8-0 to open up their year. They'll wrap up their regular season against Manasquan and then enter at some point that non-public Group 3. The state playoffs will start the weekend of the 14th and the 15th. Anthony, one more before we let you go. As you look at that bracket and see some of those teams in there, just even from a short conference standpoint, and again, I know your coach is right there and you'll play whoever you play. Somewhere deep down inside, I would have to think the guys at St. John Vianney would love to see Red Bank Catholic just even a little bit somewhere along the way in the state playoffs. You're allowed to answer. You're allowed to answer. I promise you won't get yelled at the next day in practice.
We would love to, but that's not what the bracket says. And we're just going to play who the bracket puts us up against.
Yeah, you're thinking about blue shirts right now, Manasquan, right?
Yes.
Coach, you've trained him well, for sure. You've trained him well. Guys, we appreciate you coming down here. I know it's a little bit of a hike, and we've been looking forward to talk about you guys live in person. Good luck on Saturday against Manasquan, and obviously continued success. Keep that run going. One of two teams remaining undefeated right now in the Shura Conference. Coach, appreciate it. Thanks for bringing
Thanks
Anthony
for
down.
Us.
Anthony,
Thank
continued
you.
Success. Stay healthy on the field, and best of luck.
Thank you.
That is St. John Vianney, their head coach Mark Ciccatelli, and their outstanding junior quarterback Anthony Brown will step out here for a quick timeout. When we come back on the other side, we'll be talking to Monmouth University football, all live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in downtown Tom's River. This is the Investors Bank High School Football Show on a Thursday night on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Tom's River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back here on the top side of our second hour. We take you up right till about 8:30. Thanks to those from Brick Memorial and St. John Vianney coming by and giving us some time. Our second half-hour time block here all set up with head coach Kevin Callahan of Monmouth University and, of course, Scott Stump of Shore Sports Network. But let's welcome in and do some MU stuff as Monmouth getting sent for another tough one, part of their Big South schedule. It is game number 3 in a brand-new league down at Liberty, which, coach, a... hate to say familiar spot. It's just one time that Monmouth has played at Liberty, but it was last season. So I would imagine that you're relying a little bit on the experience of playing in a pretty hostile spot at Williams Stadium will help Monmouth try to get back on the winning side come Saturday late afternoon against the Flames.
We are, Matt, and as you know, that's a great place to play. It's a tremendous venue on the FCS level. Our players thoroughly enjoy the experience and the way that the crowd is so interactive and the great facility that they have. And, you know, but when you take that away, it's a challenge for our team. They're a tremendous football team. They're extremely well coached. They have great players in a lot of different positions, and you know that's why they're having such a great season. And you know we've got quite a challenge in front of us, but I think it's one that we're certainly up for.
Coach, real quick, we got to mention last week, big letdown for the Hawks last week, right?
Well, I don't think we let down at all, Ed. I think that we played a very good team, and
good football
you know
team.
We made some mistakes, and you know those mistakes cost us. And you know the message that I've been telling our team in each of the last 2 weeks here is that when you make mistakes against a good football team, they exploit them and they expose you. And you know as we play these teams in the Big South, who have been fully funded for several years now. And we're making that step, we can't afford to make any mistakes, and we have to be on our game in every area. We have to do everything exactly right on offense and work together and not turn the ball over and keep ourselves in manageable down and distances. On defense, we have to make sure that we're getting off the field on third down, and we're doing a great job tackling, and we're doing a great job in terms of our assignments and not having any MAs out there. And we've got to make some plays in the kicking game, and I think what we saw last Saturday is we didn't really accomplish any of those three things. You know, while the kicking game might have been a wash, you know, we really didn't, you know, do what we needed to do on offense, and we didn't need what we needed to do on defense. I thought our guys played extremely hard, you know, and they kept battling out there, but we just weren't able to make some of the plays that they were able to make. And in what we saw in Presbyterian and then again in the Charleston Southern game is they have guys at every position who can make those plays.
Coach, this Flame team coming in at 6-3, 2-0 right now in the Big South. And, you know, I know you have a vote in the coaches' poll, and I get a vote actually in the media poll. I have to say, and I know polls are polls, but I have to say I'm surprised this team has not gotten a little bit more recognition. And I know they probably had the one loss, the one bad loss that's keeping them maybe on the outside looking in to Indiana State several weeks ago. But since a double overtime loss against Richmond, wins over Appalachian State, Gardner-Webb, and Presbyterian, they have certainly figured it out in those last 3 weeks.
They certainly have, Matt, and they stumbled a little bit. They were on the road at Indiana State, and at that time, Indiana State was playing very well. They jumped out on Liberty early and were able to withstand a comeback late and get that win. But, you know, we've seen a team at Liberty in the last couple of weeks, or certainly since they've gotten into conference play, that's been dominant on both sides of the ball. They score quickly. As a matter of fact, they've scored on their first offensive possession in each of their last three football games. They're doing a great job on defense. They seem to have, you know, solidified some areas where they were giving up some points, particularly in the secondary. They made some changes a few weeks ago, and it seems to have worked out really well. And, you know, they've got it all. They've got a kicker who's kicked a 60-yard field goal on the season. They've got a terrific quarterback in Josh Woodrum, who's not just a very, very talented passer, but he's their second leading rusher. They've got a terrific running back in the Abner kid, and their receiver is outstanding. And then on the defensive side, they've got some defensive linemen that, you know, they're going to be playing on Sundays, and their safety is one of the best I've seen in many, many years.
Also have a pretty good head coach in Turner Gill, who maybe our listeners remember for his outstanding career at Nebraska, and then went on to have some successful head coaching, stints at various schools.
You know, he was also a professional baseball player as well. I don't know if you guys know
that.
He played here in Williamsport, I think, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, for a portion of his career, and was in the minor league system. And yeah, I remember watching him when he was a quarterback for the Nebraska teams.
Yep.
And as a matter of fact, he and I spoke about that last year when we were down there. And then he, you know, kind of resurrected the Buffalo program, went on to University of Kansas, and is now at Liberty, and does a terrific job, and a great guy, and his programs are, his teams are very, very well coached.
Coach, after beginning the year at 5-1 for Monmouth, you know, the two losses, hard fought against Presbyterian, tough one last week against Charleston Southern. I think the people probably looking on the outside and in would say, oh, you know, Monmouth in a new league, maybe they shouldn't be there. I don't know that that's necessarily the case at all, and I know that you would second that. But what I have seen over the course of the last 2 weeks are two teams in Presbyterian and Charleston Southern, and having seen Liberty last year, that are extremely fast to the football and physical. Those are the two things. If I said the biggest difference between the first 6 weeks and the last couple for Monmouth, it's fast and physical has been just off the charts against the two opponents that Monmouth has played.
Well, that's absolutely right, Matt. And, you know, that's the name of the game. As you step up the level of competition, that's where you see it. It's size, but it's how they move and how physical they play. And, you know, I think we match that physicality. But, you know, when you have to do that 5 weeks in a row, it wears on you a little bit. And one of the things I always look at, and Ed, you'll appreciate this, is when you watch a defense play, count how many missed tackles there are. And, Matt, you were at the Presbyterian game. I don't think they missed one tackle in a one-on-one situation.
Right.
And the same was true last week. That Charleston Southern group, I mean, they didn't miss tackles. They were there, and they put people down. And I think that demonstrates not only their athleticism, but their speed and their physicality.
Well, one of those kids that is not missing too many tackles is Mike Basile, right up there in the Big South statistics with his tackling ability. I want to mention him, and I also want to mention LaVon Chaney, who leads the Big South in all-purpose yards at 141 per game. Talk a little bit about those two guys again,
you know,
as we seem to do each week.
Both of those guys are doing a terrific job. You know, first of all, Mike Basile, to do what he is doing and has done as a true freshman, coming in, making that transition from a high school player to a college player, you know, understanding the scheme, getting the concepts, getting a great feel for all the nuances that go into playing the safety position, at least in our scheme, and then being able to go out there and do it on Saturdays, week after week after week, as he has done, is just a testament to his preparation, to his ability, and to his background that he got at Brick Memorial High School. He's a terrific player, and the sky's the limit for what Mike can accomplish. And then you mentioned LaVon Chaney, and, you know, early in the year we had KB Asante, a returning 1,000-yard rusher, and he was going to be the guy, or he was the guy we were going to hang our hat on, and we were going to pound away with him because he's such a physical downhill runner. LaVon was going to be used as the change-up guy, and we were going to put him in maybe on some third downs and, you know, spell KB when he needed to. And now LaVon has become the guy, and he's much different than KB. He's physically, his stature is probably the opposite of what KB's is, but he's still been able to maintain his explosiveness. He's able to catch the ball out of the backfield. He's able to run the ball, and as you said, he's in the top of near the top of the Big South in what he is doing. And you know, we've got to continue to ride him, and he's doing a great job with it, and he rises to the challenge each and every week, and he's not all that big a guy.
Coach, final one before we let you go. You know, we mentioned fast and physical, and the game is certainly a big part of that, but the mental part of the game as well. Curious to know, and you and I talk, obviously, several times between games. Curious to know just where mentally you feel like this team is after, you know, two losses against now two Big South teams, but then looking at the schedule, Liberty, who, you know, at least on paper, a little bit better than the first two, and then Coastal Carolina, and I know we're not talking about that until next week, but mentally, after such a great start at 5-1, having lost the last two, where you feel like your team still is?
Well, we're ready to go, Matt. I mean, our team knew back in the spring when we were entering the Big South that there was going to be significant challenges each and every week. And those challenges, the way our schedule unfolded, were going to increase each week. And we've gone through 2 weeks of Big South play, and now we're getting into the third week. And our guys have put the other two games behind them, and they're all focused on Liberty. They're excited about the opportunity to go play a great football team in a great venue. They're excited to continue this trek into the Big South. And our morale is good. We had a terrific practice today. Our guys are fired up. They're ready to go. And we'll see what happens on Saturday afternoon.
Well, I just wanted to say enjoy your weekend in Lynchburg. I spent 4 years. I spent 4 years down there watching my daughter play field hockey at Lynchburg University. It's a great little town, and I'm sure you'll enjoy, what, about 20,000 fans cheering against you Saturday, right?
We'll have 20,000 of the craziest fans, really, I think, ever seen. They know everything about our team, every player on our team. It's really incredible. But I thank you guys for that. But, hey, before I get off, I just want to, you know, pass along the condolences of the entire Monmouth football program to Kevin Williams upon losing his father. I know that, you know, all of us who have been in that situation understand, you know, how significant an event that is. And I just want him to know that all of us are behind him and our prayers are with him and we're there for him.
Thank you.
Coach, we will certainly relay those messages along. And as always, good luck this weekend. I'll see you down there in Lynchburg Saturday afternoon.
Okay, Matt and Ed, thank you very much.
That is head coach Kevin Callahan. The Hawks will be down in Liberty University to take on the Flames. What we'll do is we'll take a quick timeout, and when we come back, our final guest of the night in his cleanup spot, that is Scott Stump of ShoreSportsNetwork.com. We'll do it after this quick pause. Take a quick peek at week number 9 coming up right after this on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Final spot of the night in his regular, right as we get set to get off the air in about 10 minutes from now, from the ShoreSportsNetwork.com. He is Scott Stump, our executive editor, who's good enough to give us some time as we get set for a big matchup tomorrow night in our Jersey Mike's game of the week. Jackson will play host to Red Bank Catholic. The Caseys right now sitting number 1 in our Shore Sports Network top 10. Jackson at number 6. Scott, as we say good evening, it's myself and Ed Saraluka here tonight. Some interesting games on the schedule this week for sure, going into the playoffs next weekend.
Yeah, and I think the crazy thing is because so many teams have moved their Thanksgiving games so early in the season, you have a lot of these weird matchups where there's some teams playing for their playoff lives and other teams that have already played their 8 games. So the 9th game, not really a huge deal other than in the win-loss standing. So it's interesting to see games like, you know, Southern Brick Memorial, Lakewood Point Borough, Freehold Borough, Middletown South, where it's really crucial for one team, but on the other hand, for the other team, it's, you know, it's not really going towards any of their power points.
And our game that we'll have tomorrow on 1160, 1310, that Red Bank Catholic at Jackson game, both of those teams have already played their 8 games, so in a game that's probably and should be as anticipated as just about any during the course of the regular season right before the playoffs, this game for both teams, and of course, it, you know, I understand as we talk to both coaches tonight, every game has meaning, but there is a little bit of a different feel to it when it doesn't count towards the state playoff picture at all. To me, I think it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a strange situation, especially because the last thing you want in a game like this is an injury. You know, so when you're going full bore after the win, is there a point where you call off the dogs and And, you know, you don't want your star players in there knowing there's bigger things ahead. But in the positive column for that game, I think it's going to help both teams, as long as everybody stays healthy, really get prepared for the playoffs. I think in past years, you know, RBC was playing lesser teams, and then they'd have to bring it up 10 notches in that non-public group three bracket. Jackson Memorial, and also a very difficult bracket with, you know, in Central Jersey group four. So in that way, I think it really helps them if they get a quality game and they see an excellent opponent before every game from here on out is going to be difficult.
Yeah, I know what I understand what you're saying, Scott, but I'm going to disagree. I think if anybody gets a minor nick or a bruise early in that game, you're not going to see him the rest of the night. It's just obvious that that has to happen because you've got to get yourself ready for November 14th. I mean, it's just a plain case of, you know, a black and white. I mean, so you know if the guys could want to gut it out in a normal game, that means the conference championship, or it means that we have to win to get in, then you could gut it out. But you just can't risk the big injury, especially if it's to a star.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to get second-guessed. You know, you don't want
exactly.
to be, hey, you were down three touchdowns to this team in late third, early fourth, and your top running back, you know, tore his knee up or
right.
something like that. So you're right. I think
right.
it takes away from that in that regard because you're not really going full bore after the victory.
Right, exactly.
Scott, give me the teams that going into the weekend, and I know, you know, within the media there's been those tweets and articles taking place, but maybe a quick summary of the teams that absolutely have to win this weekend to get into the postseason.
Well, you have Middletown North that has to beat Freehold Township to at least give itself a shot there in Central Jersey Group 4. And then you have, you know, Neptune, which has a tough game against the Toms River North team playing its ninth game. You know, they got to make sure that they don't get jumped from the teams behind them in also
right.
in that Central Jersey Group 4 bracket. And then you have a Southern team playing for its playoff life against the Brick Memorial team playing its ninth game. You also have a Lakewood team also trying to avoid getting jumped by other teams. You know, they got to play Point Borough, who can only get residual points at this point in Central Jersey Group 2. That's another big one. Red Bank Manchester, Ocean Colts Neck. You have teams like that that have to get a win just to give themselves a shot to sneak in late into the bracket. But, yeah, it's an interesting thing because there's not really that game where it's two teams that both have, you know, have to win a game to get in. It's a lot of situations where it's one team playing its eighth game against another team playing its ninth game that doesn't count.
Crazy system, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, you know what? My thing is, because so many teams are moving Thanksgiving games, it's really making it chaotic. And in the sense of,
right.
if everyone just got rid of Thanksgiving, then to me, you just make
play
all
the first
nine
eight.
Games count towards
yep.
the playoffs, and maybe you can drop one. You know, but
right.
because there's these lingering eight or nine Thanksgiving games, you still have to keep it as eight games. And I think that makes it a difficult system because, you know, like an RBC or Jackson get a ton of points out of this game, or, you know, a Freehold Borough if they upset Middletown South get a bunch, or a Brick Memorial. But, and then you start thinking, you know, are these games going to not shake out well because one team is resting their guys? And,
sure.
I mean, you know, you look at a Brick Memorial. Tim Santiago was in a boot last week. Are they going to have him play against Southern this week for a game that doesn't mean anything?
Right. Scott, as you look at, and I know it's always fun to kind of debate it and talk about it, and Ed, I know, has his opinions on it as well. The top 10 going into the last, you know, unofficial week of the regular season, how much change in movement do you see with this over the course of the next maybe couple of weeks, this week and maybe the first week of the state playoffs?
Well, I'm hoping five of our 10 teams are in the Central Jersey Group 4 bracket. So I'm hoping in one way or another that sorts itself out as far as a clear hierarchy in that regard. One game, you know, if St. Joe's Montdale loses to number one Paramus Catholic in the state this week, then St. John Vianney, on residual points, might have a shot at the number three seed, which means a potential semifinal game between RBC and St. John Vianney, two of our top three teams. I would love to see that, just to see that get settled on the field. And then you have teams like a Rumson, who fell out of the top 10 this week, but could become storming right back in if they win Central Jersey Group 2, as well as a Shore Regional that's a favorite in Central Jersey Group 1. So there's still a lot of football to be played to shake it out. But Central 4, I think, is a bracket that hopefully will give us a little more clarity on the top 10.
Yeah, I think that is a great loaded bracket with Shore teams, you know. And how about Freehold, who has a very tough Middletown South team this week, who needs this eighth game to vault themselves possibly to the top seed in that bracket, which is crazy because they have two losses. They need the game. Freehold, who has already played their eighth game, but if they lose that game, they could find themselves outside of the top 10 when 2 weeks ago they were undefeated.
Right, but that's what we were talking about all season, was that this would be the proving ground of Freehold
right.
Borough. They had Manalapan and Middletown South back-to-back, and if these games are not competitive, I think then a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, you never really beat that quality team, although they may still have a win over a Middletown North team that goes 6-2, so that
exactly.
would be a nice win for them. But you're right in the sense of, for Borough, this is more of a proving ground of, are we a top-10 team or not? You know, a loss this week maybe allows a Rumson to come back in. And Rumson, from what I understand, you know, Charlie Volker is still a little banged up. They'll most likely not be playing him much or resting him in the Holmdel game going into the following week. But you're right, for Middletown South, they can come flying into the picture. I think the big
right.
thing with South is, when was the last time they took down that team that was ranked ahead of them? Currently, we have them ahead of Rick and Jackson because their only losses are to South Brunswick, who could be the number one seed in that bracket, or at least top two, and to Manalapan, number two. So I think with that game, you're going to at least see, is South really rounding into form in the playoffs? So they're going to be the team that defending champion Brick or Jackson Memorial doesn't want to see in that potential semifinal round of the playoffs.
Still a lot of fun games to talk about and debate over. Scott, as always, appreciate the knowledge. We'll look forward to seeing you over the course of the weekend, my friend.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Scott Stump of ShoreSportsNetwork.com. You can obviously read all his articles during the course of the weekend. Follow his tweet. He is one of, if not the very best, around. Music means we are up against it. Great show tonight. Walt Curry, Connor Owen from Brick Memorial, Mark Ciccatelli, Anthony Brown from St. John Vianney, head coach Kevin Callahan, Scott Stump for my partner Ed Saraluca. Matt Harmon saying so long here from Jack's Goal Line. From Jack's. How about
Water
that?
Street.
Water Street Bar and Grill in downtown Towns River. Tom Tremblay and Harrison Tremond, our engineering crew. You've been listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Towns River on the Shores.
This has been the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show was presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Join us again next week. And for a complete look at Shore Conference football anytime, visit ShoreSportsNetwork.com.